the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging in there. We actually have a very exciting interview this morning. So I am going to call Mimi Gurman, who is with No Nukes Northwest, and I'm going to call her not on Skype, but I am going to call her on her phone, and we are going to see if we can do something that's not on Skype. The Skype venue this morning was giving us a bit of a hard time. We couldn't figure out if her Skype was out of date or what, but we could not connect, and that's what kept happening. So let me see if I can add Mimi to this call, and we'll just jump right into the interview. Thank you for joining us. Let's see if this will work. Please say yes. We want it to work because this is a really exciting. Mimi Gurman has some new information about the Columbia Generating Station, and which is maybe why we had some trouble this morning. Technical difficulties.
Hello.
Well, hello. Finally, after 12 minutes. Thank you. And thank you, Mimi, for hanging in there with us. And thank our UCY.TV radio listeners for hanging in there with us. We had some technical difficulties that kept us off the air and dead air for 10 minutes. So hopefully our producer will edit those out at the end of the show. So thank you, Mimi. This is Mimi Gurman. I just called from No Nukes Northwest, as I told you, and she has some new information. So we've lost 15 minutes of our valuable time, Mimi, so I'm going to jump right into this.
Well, the latest that happened yesterday here in the Pacific Northwest is that the Columbia Generating Station nuclear power plant had a scram. And they haven't had a scram like this since 2009, but they have had a lot of issues between 2009 and now. And, you know, the scrams happen when equipment fails. And when equipment fails at a nuclear plant, you're just moments away from a meltdown, really, because we never know, first of all, if the cooling rods are going to go back into where they need to be, back in the water when a scram occurs. That happens. That's what happened in Chernobyl. And fortunately for us, the rods worked, and the CGS was able to be shut down. It's on zero power right now. But the issue that happens when you have a scram like this is there's pressure on every bit of equipment when you have to all of a sudden shut everything down. This
right.
is it's a pressure cooker, these
right.
things. And they're boiling water, and everything is working way overtime. The parts and pieces, all the way down to the literally the nuts and bolts that attach piping into the nuclear plant, into the entire facility, all of these things are worn out. To what degree? Well, all different, you know, differing degrees. But when a scram happens, the amount of pressure on all of the parts and pieces of a nuclear plant really get just a super load on top of everything else. So right now the plant is shut down, which gives us a moment to start to contact Washington officials, Washington state officials, and tell them to keep this plant closed. We hardly get a moment like this. These are dangerous moments to have. And when these scrams happen, releases of radiation always occur. They can't not occur. It's impossible. You have to release the steam from the plant or things will explode. So that's where we're at today. We have
so people in Portland need to stay indoors, in other words.
I have to check where the winds are blowing. Definitely around that area. If the winds are blowing towards the east, what happens is it goes a little bit north, goes a little bit south, goes definitely east, so it hits, you know, Idaho and Montana, the Dakotas, it keeps going into the Midwest, that kind of thing. So this isn't, you know, we didn't have a meltdown. It's not like that. But there are releases, and there will be more releases as time goes. And as soon as they go to create full power and power up, there will be releases then as well. So, yeah, it's a dangerous time right now. It's been dangerous ever since they turned on CGS in the very beginning, but it's particularly dangerous when these things happen. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, my mind goes to that crack you were talking about. Is that anything near where that crack was in any of those is any of this stuff in – it sounds like it's just – to me, when I hear about it, it sounds like it's just decrepit. Like these old plants that have not been really – they haven't invested the money to keep them safe. So what does the word SCRAM mean? Is that an acronym?
SCRAM is an acronym. I have to look up the exact thing, but basically it means get the hell out. because when a SCRAM occurs, that's when like the only people that should be left are in the booth itself, and everybody else should get the hell out. So it's kind of funny that, not funny really, but let me look up SCRAM for a second. And see what the acronym stands for. I can't remember.
Yeah. Safety Control Rod Axeman. That's what they said. It was coined it. Yeah. Here's the NRC glossary. Let's just look at that. What does they say?
Yeah.
SCRAM, the sudden shutting down of a nuclear reactor, usually by a rapid insertion of control rods, either automatically or manually by the reactor operators, also known as a reactor trip. Wow.
Yeah. So something happens, and the plant, if it's working correctly, reads that something is incorrect. Something bad has just occurred. And in order to keep things working, the rods are on this automatic means where they go back into place and try to keep things cool.
So who is it? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I am wondering, who do we call? I don't mean to step on your words, but I'm a little – we have 15 minutes left, so I want to make sure we
– It doesn't even really matter who you call. Well, the only people to call at this point are, the reps and senators in Washington State. The NRC isn't created for us to call them and have them do anything. Their job is to not do anything. So it's just a waste of a call to call the NRC. They don't care about you. They don't care if you call. It just doesn't
matter.
Do you think
it's even worth it to call Patty Murray? I mean, she's so pro-nuclear. Maria Cantwell?
It's good to harass people. I'm all in favor of harassment. I'm all in favor of, you know, go to their front door and lock yourself to the door handle. I'm in favor of, you know, doing anything and everything that you can muster up to be in their faces.
Me too.
You know.
I'm with you on that one too, because that is it's so outrageous that we just let them get away with it. Really.
But I have to say that the one thing that we're working on right now, Nonix Northwest, is we're just about ready to put out an initiative to shut down CGS in Washington State. It's going to require, hundreds of thousands of signatures. And even if we don't succeed with the initiative, which honestly I'm not planning on succeeding with, I'm using this as an educational tool to show people in Washington State that we have a nuke plant. People do not know that there's a nuke plant. It doesn't matter how many shows you do, Lonnie, it doesn't matter how many shows, you know, anybody does on any of this. The people don't listen when we talk about nuclear power being dangerous because they're getting an earful from 350.org, from, you know, all of these so-called Greens who are right. all pro-nuclear, telling them that nuclear energy is a necessary right. means right now for the next 20 years until we can get off fossil fuels. That is the garbage that people are fed, and that's the garbage that people, unfortunately, are too stupid to weed through to understand that this is just bullshit, and they're getting fed that, and they're eating it like it's, you know, like protein for their brain. And it's really offensive to me that people cannot think for themselves. I find that, I think, one of the most offensive things at this point.
The people just refuse to get engaged with this and stop it.
No, they refuse to think at the garbage that they're being fed to believe. Mm-hmm. You know, that there are people who, how many people are in 350.org? Every single person in 350.org, except for maybe a really small handful, believe that nukes are necessary in order to pull ourselves off of fossil fuel.
Do they really?
That's disgusting. Yes. I talk to people. I go to every single table at 350 that I see, and I ask them why nukes aren't on the table for them when they're passing out their information on what needs to be done, you know? And they tell you this. This is the garbage that they eat.
This is, you know what's interesting about that? You know, the Northwest, the law conference that happens here, the so-called environmental law conference.
The environmental law conference, yes.
Those people great. They're mm-hmm. very pro-nuclear there. They really, they will not. I've actually asked them. Now, they have Bob Alvarez. They have people come and speak. Chuck Johnson goes to speak there, and he will mention the nuclear, but to get a table or a panel to talk about.
No, I have to differ because I know people who have spoken there, and you just have to. You have to be creative. You have to tell it like it is and get your platform in to the people who choose this. And the people who choose what's going to be there are students. So I think that they are fair there. They might have the opposite side to our side as well, which is a real drag. But there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, that's part of what it is. But so. Okay, so because I'm going to make an effort to get a tabling, to get a panel going for next year because I protested out there. There was one panel this year on the dangers of uranium mining, which was really awesome. And but that was it. And 5 years in, I thought it was a bit offensive. 5 years in post Fukushima, it's an ongoing, it's not like it's a stopped catastrophe, it's an ongoing catastrophe.
You know, back to people not being able to think for themselves. This is a sickness at this point that people can't think for themselves. So, for instance, when there's this article that was going around recently that the crab epidemic that happened this past year in California and along the West Coast, that we were told, you know, you can't eat the crabs because they've got this neurotoxin because the waters in the Pacific are too hot and so on. All of that. Yeah, sure. Maybe that happened. We know that does happen, and the probability of that is really likely. But the probability of Fukushima's radiation also being in those crabs is also there. It
right.
is probable. It's more probable than it is less probable
right.
that our food is radiated. We know this already from the seaweed back in 2012.
Right.
In 2011, we were seeing cesium-tainted seaweed in San Diego.
Right.
So for us to know those things and yet deny the reality that those crabs and the story that doesn't have a name of a particular whistleblower who's telling us, who's feeding us, you know, the truth, and so therefore it must not be true, this goes into the fact that human beings in the United States and really around the world, but primarily here, really have lost the capability of thinking for themselves, and if they aren't spoon-fed what they think they need to know, we're up Schitt's Creek right now, you know, and that is where we're at. I mean, we've got Fukushima in our food supply. We've got Fukushima on the shelves in our stores right now. You know, why do I know that? Because Hillary made a plan with Abe back in 2011, right after Fukushima happened, that we would continue to do that. And it's a done deal. All of this stuff is real. And yet we have people saying, well, how do you know that the crab story is real?
Well,
you know, we don't see where it comes from.
Well, there were, you know, this is the thing. I had somebody tell me this whole thing about Hillary Clinton. That was a made-up lie. She never promised that. And I'm like,
I saw the article in the New York Times on page 18 or 22 in the front section, and I was livid. It was on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
I was in bed reading the paper. Her face was there. Abe was there. They were shaking hands, and the article existed. Just because it's been, you know, ripped out of all files, you know, there are people in our network who still have that article.
Right.
But again, until people recognize what we have created on our earth, we'll just continue in the same way. The fact is, we've hit the sixth extinction. This is a reality. People don't want to admit it. It doesn't matter what people want to admit anymore. You know, what matters is at this point just living and until we die. You know,
right? Because really, you're right about that. I mean, this is a thing people don't understand. Like, we're watching massive amounts of, you know, actually, there's massive amounts of humans dying from cancer that's not even being reported. Not just the mass animal deaths. It's an epidemic, and people don't understand. When I talk to people about the radiation, they're like, well, A, this is their first reaction. They hope it doesn't affect them. And B, if it was so bad, why would the government continue to ignore it? Like, if people in charge wouldn't allow their own children to get killed. That's what they say. This is the standard argument. And it is off the charts. When we look, we have rows and rows of tuna being sold in every grocery store. Every health food store that offers meat products has tuna being sold in it. That's outrageous, in my view, when we know 100% of the tuna.
That's right.
100, not 80%. Every
right. It's 100%
sample of the tuna was caught with cesium, what was it, 137, 134. And they're just putting it in cans and selling it to people.
Yeah. So this is what happens. This is a human experiment. It's a social experiment, not by, you know, the people who even created nukes. They didn't do this as a human experiment. Yeah, they were experimenting. And we are the cost and the toll of that experiment. But overall, in a more abstract way, the human experiment is, what will people do when their world is threatened? And we've seen now what people do when their world is threatened. They vote for the oppressor. They vote to be oppressed. They vote for others to continue to be oppressed. They vote for death. And it's a very bizarre thing with our species that this is what we do. I've said this on your show before. I don't want to predict the future. I look at science and I see where we're going. And the fact is, we're all going to die, right? So why vote at this point? Why vote for anything, on one hand? And if you're going to vote, why vote to continue to be oppressed? That's just, it's fascinating to me. Why do you vote to continue to be oppressed, whether it's to continue to have your earth poisoned, or a president, vote for a president to go out and kill other nations in the name of, I don't even know what, empire, really.
Freedom.
Why do that? It's not in the name of freedom. They're doing this in the name of empire. They're doing this in that name. They don't even say they're doing this for freedom anymore.
Absolutely correct. But you know, a lot of people that are voting for those people equate empire with freedom. They're like, well, we're Americans. We have a right to have that because we're the smartest people on the planet.
Arrogance
is just beyond control. It's off the charts.
Back to the fact that people don't read anymore. That people don't think for themselves anymore, that people cannot differentiate and discern truth from falsehood, right from wrong, greed from giving. None of it. It's all been toppled already, and we cannot find our way out. So that's where we're at. And in the meantime, our nukes are continuing to degrade. They are falling apart at the seams. They are imploding on themselves. They will be exploding on all of us. And this is where we're at. This is not a pretty story.
No.
There's no la-la in this. There's no, what can we do to fix this? You know, if we're lucky, we can shut down and decommission a few more nukes before the next, you know, meltdown, if we're lucky. And then we still have to deal with all the waste, you know? Native Americans are still dealing with all the uranium and all the cancers that they've got from that. So really, again, there's no la-la, there's no song at the end of the story.
Well, this is the thing. This is my feeling about it is I think that if we what we really need is for scientists to break ranks and stop allowing the lies to continue. We need the facts to come out, and we need them to demand real science. We're not getting real science out of the nuclear industry. They cannot discover how to manage the waste and how to reverse the negative effects of radiation until they put real science to the test, which I don't believe they're doing. I mean, they're spending money, billions of dollars, twisting like pretzels to tell us it's not that bad. I actually... personally, after having done this, and I think it's an intentional thing. I really think that when Henry Kissinger said they wanted to eliminate 2/3 of the world's population, that what did they do shortly thereafter? Push our Congress to start pouring nuclear power plants all over the country against the advice of the scientists who they were relying on. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not an accident, and I really believe that it's not.
Oh, I also believe this is not an accident. There's no way that this is an accident. This is planned behavior.
Well, the thing is, it's already in process. This is the thing. It's already in process, but that doesn't mean we can't. I am the eternal optimist. Like, I do believe that some humans will survive. Have you ever read this book called... The Canticles of Leibowitz? It's an old science fiction book, and it's really interesting. It's in the future, about 300 years in the future, and it's the remains of what happened to humanity after the nuclear catastrophe. I mean, it's almost as if our the officials who are making all these decisions to just keep ignoring and keep killing have read all these science fiction books from the 60s and used them as operating manuals. You know what I mean? Like, I often say that 1984 and the New World Order, they're using them as operating manuals right now. So
I happen to think that the human species is just a... It's a wrong thing. Like, yeah, sure, we all exist now, but I'm kind of hoping that when all is said and done, we get wiped out and something better occurs, something different occurs. We cannot seem to get this right. And
well,
that we've killed the only planet. You know, that's that I get. I'm your shadow side.
Don't you think this gets down to, I hate to be politically incorrect here, but I think it really gets down to patriarchy. I mean, that's fundamentally what happens here is it's this whole idea of dominion over everything on the earth instead of we are working in harmony with what happens with the earth. And, you know, if I think if we could get that restored, there's going to be shreds of humanity left.
We don't know what there's going to be. We can sit here all day and, you know, think that we know what there's going to be. None of us know what there's going to be later. And for me, like I said, I hope that humans are just done at some point because this is just pure insanity. What we do is insane. And, I'm tired of it. I'm so sad by it, you know, that we would do this. And it's really where I'm at. I just feel like, why do we deserve to be here? Why do we deserve to even have a thought that we should be here later? I don't understand that.
See, I think this is why people cling to religions, because it gives them a sense of belonging. It is a desperate thing to recognize what we've done to this planet, and we are a brutal species, but I actually think that this catastrophic event, whatever shreds of humanity are left, I think the idea of war and dominion will be such an outdated concept, or maybe there won't be enough humans on the planet to perpetrate war, and the planet can heal itself. You know what I mean? Like, right now, the issue is we have all these tools to just destroy. It's like a two-year-old just destroying everything in its wake. Like, that's kind of what we do, and it's almost as if humanity as a species is still growing up, and unfortunately, I don't know how many of us will survive, or how many species on this planet will survive, but you know what I do want to do? I want to give out Maria Cantwell's phone number.
Because
I think we need to, I think we definitely need to give her a call.
I think that people also need to call and get in touch with the superdelegates in Washington State and tell them that it would be a grand thing to support what the people do want. as far as change for the present. And the superdelegates right now are really important. And I know that the superdelegate in Washington is still throwing his support behind Hillary. And so far, no matter how much comes into his Facebook page, he's sticking to it.
Well,
so,
what is his name? It's the governor, isn't it? Isn't that the governor?
I don't know how many supers they have, but hold on a second. The superdelegate that needs to change his dealio is going there right now.
State, here we go. Mr. Superdelegate guy. Yeah, I remember reading
here,
this
here
story.
It is. Here it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Governor Jay
Inslee. Well, he might be, but this guy, Representative Rick Larson.
Okay.
Representative Rick Larson. Yeah, it's Larsen. He needs to be hounded.
And tell him to change his vote.
His superdelegate vote. Mm-hmm.
He's supporting Hillary. He's supporting Hillary Clinton.
Well, just about every superdelegate is. Yeah.
So they've just bought every. They've just bought all of Washington, essentially.
And again, people tend to vote in, or the oppressor just wins. I mean, that's the role of the oppressor, to do anything and everything possible in order to win. And that's what Hillary is doing to make empire, you know.
So his phone number, the phone number for Rick Larson of Washington State's 2nd District in Washington, D.C. is 202-225-2605. He has an office in Bellingham. In Bellingham, his office is 360-733-4500, in case you can't get through to Washington, D.C.
And he has a Facebook page, which is Representative Larson.
And post a comment there, which will be summarily mm-hmm. removed. But don't mm-hmm. all of our
mine from yesterday was removed. I posted a few more today, but yesterday's is gone.
But don't all the senators have, aren't they all superdelegates also? Because I read...
I believe so. I can't really remember all the ins and outs of that.
I remember that I just read that Ron Wyden has already pledged his superdelegates to Hillary Clinton.
All of ours in Oregon have pledged to Clinton except for Markley.
Oh, man, really?
I think. You know, I shouldn't even say that. I know we have one who did not yet. And he's waiting, and I'm staking out on who it is. But the rest have, yeah.
Wow. So we
and Wyden is completely pro-nuclear.
Yes.
He's anti-Hanford. Like he wants the cleanup to occur at Hanford. But as far as nuclear power, he believes that we need nuclear power.
Yes, I know. I've had many conversations with his office.
So yeah, I find it very difficult. He also voted for the TPP and would not be. He was just, I'm not listening to any of you. I'm going to hold these town hall meetings across Oregon, and everybody there is going to tell me not to vote for the TPP, and then I'm going to go vote for the TPP, and that's exactly what Wyden did.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. you know, the thing is with Wyden, I think, me personally, I think somebody gave him a little knock on the door when he got back from Fukushima the second time. That's when I saw him turn around. He went over to Fukushima right away and came back super concerned, write a pretty good article that was posted in the Eugene Weekly even. And then the second time he went a few months later, he came back and the whole thing was shut down and his attitude was completely different. I actually think that the reason I believe that many of our elected officials are coerced into obedience. I think they get a little knock at the door and they're told, if you don't comply, you'll be Paul Wellstoned. And I really
that's because you know, being a politician means money is your bone, you know.
Well, it's either do you want to be dead or you want to be rich. That's the option. That's really the option for these people. That's what I think it is. I think that it's not really, and this is why, frankly, I'm an excited Bernie Sanders supporter, because I think Bernie Sanders has been fighting the system long enough that he's used to it. He's not coercible. I think he'll stand, and he might end up, I believe if we really push hard with the Bernie Sanders campaign, that we can get him as our nominee and keep holding their feet to the fire about. And call all of the senators, call your senators and tell them to do not promise their super delegates to somebody, and they should go the way the state votes, not the way that they want to go. This is not a, we're not, we didn't elect them for them to do what they want to do. We elected them to represent us. So I want to talk to you, Mimi, about what you did at the Bernie Sanders campaign, which was quite the he Bernie Sanders came to Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and Mimi Gurman did something super exciting. Tell the people what you did. Oh man, I think I lost Miss Mimi Gurman, so let me try to call her again. The phone hung up. Jeez wheeze, man. I think we're poking them in the eye. I have a feeling they don't really like what went on. So here we go. Let me try to give her a call again. I'll add her to the group call. I think she missed out on what I was saying. Because she really did something really great at the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Hi.
Hi, our phone call got dropped. Huh, surprise, surprise. So listen, I was just saying to people when I didn't even realize that you were off the call, to be honest, that you did something very exciting out at the Bernie Sanders campaign that I thought was awesome. Bernie Sanders came to Vancouver, and you took an opportunity for activism to get people to know. Tell people what you did and what how that went.
Well, because we need to shut down the Columbia Generating Station, and Oregon doesn't have any kind of a vote on that, we took the opportunity to go and educate people in line at for Bernie on whatever day that was in Vancouver. And so we took our big banner, which says "Shut Down CGS," and we had little flyers that told people that the initiative is coming and they should sign it when they see it. And we let them know, and we questioned them and said, the first thing was, do you know that we have a nuclear power plant? And they said no. And that, a lot of people confuse it with Hanford. Nope, it's not Hanford, it's a nuclear power plant. And so it was a whole morning of educating folks to the fact that there's a nuclear power plant. And that's always been step one for us, the activists who need to shut it down. You can't shut down something if you don't know it exists, right? So we handed out about 500 to 800 flyers, and we were definitely seen, and it was a great time because there were thousands of people in.
800 flyers. How many people did you have go out with you?
Two. It was just me and my friend Nancy.
Wow. And what were people's response? Did you engage them or did you just hand out
Oh,
flyers?
no, we talked to a lot of people. They were pretty blown away that they didn't know there was a nuke plant.
Wow.
And that they thought it had closed because the PR at Energy Northwest, who is one of the main owners of the plant, said, the PR team that they have is amazing. And when WHOOPS, which is what it used to be called, when most of the nuke plants were shut down in the making, everybody thought we had no nukes. And that wasn't true. There was one nuke plant from all of that that went online in that CGS. So nobody knew. Not one person knew we had a nuke plant. And
Wow.
the one person who gave me a hard time about it was from 350.org. And he said, no, you're doing the wrong thing. We need to keep nukes open for at least 5 more years while we pull ourselves off fossil fuel. And I said, oh, you are a 350-er. And he said, well, what about it? And I said, this is the garbage they teach you, and you're wrong. And we had a long talk, and I finally had to move on because he was really just making me sick talking to him, And that's how I feel about 350. So, yeah, folks, you got to think for yourselves. You got to figure out ways to do what it is you want to do, live the life you want to live, not the life that you're told that you should live. If you hate your job, get the hell out, do something else and be creative. Remember that you have an ability to be creative. You have a brain. And so that's what we did. We went over there and just educated people for a while. And then hopefully when the initiative comes out and we're passing it around to get signatures, they'll remember it and they'll help out. And
Right.
we'll get it shut down and decommissioned.
Well, when that comes up, let's have you back on the air and we'll generate some people that I know that there are some listeners up in Malala and various areas in Washington who have called and contacted me. So maybe we can get some of them engaged and involved in getting signatures and get the initiative, you know, get people to walk the streets, because that's what it takes, is to go door to door to get signatures to make sure that, you know, that they know exactly how many people want this thing closed down. And so I think that's really an important thing for us to do.
Well, we tried going about it in different ways, where we went to Shama Sawant's office, city council, the energy committee on the city council, which she runs. And, you know, man, for being a socialist, she is a one-issue kind of woman. And it's incredibly disappointing that she's a one-issue person, and now she's all about her own politics and moving up in the chain of politic command. So she has not helped at all. And neither has the energy committee. We thought for a minute 2 years ago that they were going to help out, and they have lied every single step of the way. We gave them a resolution that they could have passed. They spent 2 years supposedly rewording this resolution and sending it back and rewording, and all a resolution. It's not even binding, you know, just put the whole thing up to vote. You know, let the people come in, let them talk about it and say, yeah, Energy Commission and City Council of Seattle, let's shut this thing down. And they will not move it forward.
So that really speaks to the power of the nuclear industry. That really, I mean, the thing is, people have this blanket idea that nuclear is just not that harmful because they don't see the negative effects of the radiation. And as we have heard many times, well, you can't tell if that cancer was caused. But we have microencephaly babies next to Hanford, and the government's telling us it's not caused by Hanford.
Yep.
So that's part of, that's really a serious part of the issue.
Right. People just don't think that it's, you know, something that needs to be dealt with in a very, very timely fashion.
Mimi, you sound far away. Did you move away from the phone?
No, I'm still sitting right here.
You are? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe it's my hearing. So I want to thank you for going out to and thinking of that idea at the Bernie Sanders campaign. That's an idea that everybody can take action on. And the one thing that about these superdelegates is all of our senators are superdelegates. I know that, and all the governors are superdelegates. Our own governor, even though Oregon is a Bernie Sanders state, has backed Hillary Clinton already. We haven't even voted, but the polls are strongly for Bernie Sanders in our state. And frankly, the reason we keep talking about Bernie Sanders in this conversation is he is the only candidate, the only one who says he's going to back away from nuclear power. And he thinks we really need to take it seriously and rework what we're doing with it. He's the only one who's willing to face the fact that we have a serious, serious, beyond serious problem with nuclear pollution in this country.
He is. You're right. And it was fun doing the research on that a few days ago online with people and coming up and finding where he said these things definitively.
Yes. And he has. And he is. And that is, I think, again, one of the reasons why the DNC completely does. The DNC is doing everything they can to keep Bernie from getting elected. I mean, it's quite clear in Arizona, they stole the votes. I mean, even the they've come out. I saw a story this morning where they're admitting there was election fraud. People were going to the polls and it would say, what do you want to vote? Their button, they pushed the button Democrat and it would come up Republican. Oh, more than 60% in several precincts could not vote as Democrats. So that's how Hillary Clinton won the election in Arizona, folks, cheating and lying. And for those Hillary Clinton supporters who think she is not a evil politician, you know, I ask you to think again, because in my view, she's as bad as George Bush. I'll be frank with you. Like, I spit nails when I think about her becoming, to me, she's almost as bad as Trump. I mean, I don't know which one is worse because she's devious.
Yeah, Trump actually tells you how it is for him.
Yeah, he doesn't
know where he's at, and Hillary will just lie and cover up and, yeah, you know.
And pretend like she's not one of them when she really is. She's one of the best Republicans in American politics right now.
Well, I mean, my friend John said to me that We really need to call her what she is, because I was calling her a Republican. And he said, no, she's a neocon. And it's so true that she's a neocon. And neocons, all they get so much money from the nuclear industry. It's incredible. And plus, you know, of course, there's the warmongering. We already know that about her. So for our governor, who is a woman, to say, I'm voting for her because it's time we have a woman. And Governor Brown said, I like her progressive ideals. What progressive ideals?
Exactly.
Not one progressive ideal. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a progressive ideal to say that women should have equal pay. That's like a normal thought, you know?
That's a no-brainer. That's exactly.
And that women should have the right to choose what they do with their own body. That's not progressive. That's like a given. I was given that right when I was born, you know? Right. It's not progressive. You know, progressive is expanding social ideals that will help people, you know, whether it is to actually be educated, you know, or have health or whatever it might be, something that we don't have that we need to have, you know. Hillary has nothing. Hillary is just lies and nuclear. And
Well, this whole thing about the Columbia Generating Station is completely outrageous. That this did not make the news, that the plant unexpectedly shut down. It has not been opened back up, which means that something went on there that was not small. Because usually whenever something happens, you know, when I was reading the nuclear alerts, whenever anything happened, usually it came back online 8 or 9 hours, maybe the next day. But if there's something going on that's serious, it's just going to shut the thing down. This whole thing with the Energy Northwest, that's the name of the company, is Energy Northwest, right? They run the Columbia Generating Station.
Right.
And that is who we really, those are the people that actually are paying scientists to lie. I mean, this is the thing. When you say that we have a population of people who are just refuse to think to themselves, it is an intentional act. People do refuse to actively engage in this because they are so terrified. And so you know, a lot of people will say, well, you guys are just part of the death and gloom, the doom and gloom side. That's not it, but it's about reality. We have to face the reality of what we have done to this planet. And it's not just from coal energy. Coal energy is bad, but nuclear pollution destroys us. What did Dr. Helen Caldicott say? The latency period is 4 to 80 years, and it takes 5 to 6 generations for it to really show up. Really, it takes, that's how long. We will be long dead when we see if we have a human species at all in 8 generations from now.
Well, for new listeners for your show, I would recommend that you guys go to Dr. Timothy Mousseau's website. It's Mousseau. And he is one of our leading scientists on what happens in the DNA structure and genetic coding when you are bombarded with radiation. And it's fascinating. It's incredibly scary. And when you see the actual work that's been done, just relate it to yourself and relate it to your children and your children's children. But he makes it very visible. So I encourage you to go to his page.
And his page on Facebook or his
his website. It's just look up Dr. Timothy Mousseau. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I just looked one up, and what I'm pulling up is the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of South Carolina.
That is correct.
So that's it. That's what we're talking about. And look under his research. It looks like research areas that kind of look all those things up.
He has research from Chernobyl and Fukushima.
Wow.
In the birds and the butterflies, the species.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who was showing us all the little deformities, because these animals have manifestations of being affected, but they're so small, nobody actually looks at them. That's what happens is if you're not looking for the harm that's caused by nuclear, you can easily pass it up. It's like when we're looking at flowers. Radchik posted a picture of a flower that was mutated. There was two flowers, an iris, two of them growing out of one stem. You know what I mean? Like there's weird mutations that are happening that people just don't notice. Our eyes are just too busy. That's what they count on. I mean, we literally are frogs in a pot of boiling water. It is really an outrage. And I mean, people say, well, why do you even continue to pay attention? Well, because we have a quality of life that we want to ensure. And I personally, I think we might disagree on this, but I personally believe that there is a way out. I intuitively think that we will sound healing can probably help manifest a change in the molecular structure of the nuclear pollution. I don't understand the whole things about sound healing, but I know sound healing is extremely effective. And it's a science that has been virtually ignored because, we live in a healthcare for-profit system, and it's something that we could do pretty cheap. So that's kind of my feeling. So let me ask you about this initiative that you're putting together. Let me bump back to the Columbia Generating Station. So let me review this. First, we want to make sure we contact all the superdelegates in our states and the superdelegates of Washington State. Those are the ones that matter, right? And those are our governors and our senators, at least. And we can look them up online, who are our own superdelegates.
Well, they matter right now because, Washington has had their, they voted. And they caucused, and we haven't yet.
And it's 100%. Washington State went 100% for Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side. It wasn't a small amount. It was 100% practically. So for the superdelegates to back Hillary Clinton is a slap in the face to the voters of the Democratic voters of Washington State. That's what I think. And Bernie Sanders is the only person saying we need to shut down the nuclear industry. We need to back away. We need to have truth in science. That's the thing that people need to keep remembering. These are vital points for people to not just shuffle it off and say, yeah, but Trump is really good on the economy and he'll do the right thing for us on the nuclear issue. Trump is not going to do the right thing for us on the nuclear issue. There's a lot of listeners to this radio station who think that the Republicans and Trump probably have it more correct than Bernie Sanders. And I have gotten feedback on. So I push back against that because I don't believe that the Republicans have a single thing right, except they know how to lie extremely well and how to sell things to people. So I think it's very important for us to push back against the lies. So we want people to go to contact their superdelegates. And when we'll have you back on when you get the initiatives up to close down the Columbia Generating Station. But because we had this massive event that happened out at the Columbia Generating Station and the plant is now closed down, this is the time and the opportunity we have to call the elected officials in Washington State and tell them not to reopen the plant. Is that correct?
That's right. They're not going to listen, but it's... We need to do that all the time. When we have an opportunity like this, we need to pressure them. And I do think that they feel the pressure. They don't act on it, but they need to, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pressure them. It means we should pressure them even more. Mm-hmm. Basically kick them in their ass, kick them out the door is really what we need to do. So when elections come back around again, when these people don't listen to you, with what you want done, and they just, throw you out, you need to throw them out. You need to not elect them again. And this is part of the problem. We elect nuclear, pro-nuclear people. We elect people who take money from the nuclear cartel, and we have to stop electing those people. Period.
Yes, and we have to get them out of office. That's the other thing.
What I mean. Stop electing them. Yeah.
It is such an outrage that they can just continue to ignore and we continue to reelect them because there's so many low information voters out there that only go to the polls, every 4 years or every 6 years and, the major elections. And they think that Ron Wyden's doing a good job for him. He's considered a liberal senator, which is a shock to me. I don't consider him liberal at all.
Look, I got people calling me from I did anyway from St. Louis about this, nuclear dump that is inside a garbage pit, basically, and it's on fire. And they're like, well, are we really in danger? It's like, you're inside a nuclear dump zone. You're inside Hanford.
Yeah.
Fire. So people really don't understand, and the level of denial is so huge that, like, you can't even, because you don't want to. You don't want
to. This is why we have to keep getting us back on the air. We have to keep poking at them. And, you know, so this is really where we're at. We're about to be kicked off the air. We've got 15 seconds left. Thank you, Mimi Gurman from No Nukes Northwest. Please like her on Facebook. Go to No Nukes Northwest on Facebook. I hope to have you back on, and thanks for joining us and hanging in there with us.